Let me be very clear at the outset, right here. This sermon is not going to serve up the definitive answer, Swedenborgian or otherwise, to the question, who is Jesus? I've given it a lot of thought, probably too much thought, and I still find the question very vexing. I probably always will. So just sit back and relax. Let your mind just wander into the first century desert where people were wondering about this person. This scene with Jesus and his disciples happens after a whirlwind of miraculous happenings at the outset of Jesus' ministry. The awe-inspiring Sermon on the Mount, which, I mean, think about it, it must have been really several hours of just the most profound and beautifully expressed love and wisdom that anyone had ever heard. Healings of body and spirit that everybody witnessed right there. Not just, oh, I heard this happen, or didn't you see, but people saw diseases disappear, diseases of spirit disappear. People witnessed that again and again. Jesus stilled the very winds and calmed the waves. He walked on water. He fed thousands of people from nothing. He called out the power of love over the love of power in very bold and in-your-face ways. And this isn't just all mythology. The historian Josephus, writing around the year 65, writes, "Now about this time there happened to be Jesus, a wise man, if indeed it is right to call him a man, for he was a doer of amazing deeds. When Pilate condemned him to the cross on an accusation from prominent men among us, those who were first drawn to him did not quit, for he appeared to them on the third day as again having life. These wonders and 1,000 others were told about him by God's prophets." These wonders and 1,000 others. Can you imagine the buzz? Who is this guy? What is this guy? No one had ever experienced a presence like this before. And Jesus takes his followers off to Caesarea Philippi. And this is an important location. It's a region that had been used in ancient worship of Baal, who was the god and gods and cult that was worshipped before the monotheistic god came into consciousness and came into play in humanity. And then it was a site of activity around the cult of Pan, the Greek god of nature and wildness. And at the time of our story, this region that had been a sacred place for thousands of years had been co-opted by the infamous King Herod of Rome. And Jesus takes his followers to this place of instinct and impulse and intuition that was now controlled by a secular imperial power. So it's a very significant place. He takes them to this place of intuition. And he takes a break from the doing of amazing deeds to ask, what are people saying about all this? And the disciples are quick to report all the theories. Well, they say you're Elijah. Somebody says you're John the Baptist. But I wonder about this part of the scene. You know, are the disciples responding to him? Oh, here's what people are saying. Or are they kind of going, they say you're Elijah. Tell him. I don't want to tell him. I'm not going to say it. You say it. I think, well, I don't know. And Peter blurts it right out, as he always does. He's the most outspoken, impulsive, most likely to be eating first century shoe leather. And he asks a question that still rings like a bell across 2,000 years. How about you? Who do you say that I am? Now, anybody else might have stopped to think, considered some other opinions, formulated an answer that was honest yet tactful, open yet circumspect, authentic yet politically safe. But Peter just spits it out. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Like, oh my God, what just came out of my mouth? And in that moment of truth, Something is broken open. This is an event of cosmic significance. The world is never quite the same, and not just because the Pope was invented. The church, ecclesia is the Greek word, and it literally means called out. Ecclesia is a people called out, is built on what Peter just says from his gut without thinking. People are called out. We are called out of following the conventional wisdom. We are called out of letting someone else tell us what to believe or what to think. We are called out of repressing our own experience of God because it doesn't fit the mold. The church, and by that I mean the movement of healing power and transformation and unity and the spirit of love within and among humanity, what Swedenborg calls the church universal, not the institutionalized organization of religions within religions within religions, but the church of spirit, is built on looking for and recognizing God in Jesus. Peter gets the keys to heaven, not because he figured out the right answer, but because he instinctually reacted to something eternal, something transcendent that Jesus embodied. He clearly sees this mysterious, unknowable, unnameable source of life and love and being walking around among us and living a human life. And Swedenborg sees this spark of recognition of Jesus as the visible God as the first and most basic element of our faith journey. This spark of recognition, this impulse, not belief or unquestioning faith, not theological conviction, not practice or good works, not ritual or prayer or what our lives look like, not enlightenment, certainly not church in the way that we know it. All of that may come later and is based on that rock of seeing, as our faith statement says, the visible God in whom is the invisible divine. And Jesus points out that this truth is revealed by God, not told to us or taught to us by people. That would be a lot easier just to have other people tell you what to think and what to believe and who Jesus is and how God works in the world. But that's not how our faith is born. At the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus tells his followers to go and make disciples of all nations by living example. But here, he tells them sternly, it says, he tells them not to tell anyone that he's the Messiah. It won't do just to repeat Peter's words. We are called out to encounter God directly, to seek God on our individual paths. Here, now, in this world, which I suspect you have done, or you wouldn't be here. Somehow you've recognized the visible God. Something holy, something transcendent, has sometime, somewhere, somehow been revealed to you. Now, some folks here may have had very profound, life-changing experiences, almost frightening experiences of something numinous that you can't describe, and maybe have been seeking to understand ever since. Dreams. Visions. Transformational changes. And others are searching, or spiritually parched by the wisdom of the marketplace, and not satisfied by the conventional wisdom of religious institutions. but you know something. Something you may not even know that you know. You know more than you can say. I know for me it feels like I'm often just still searching, wishing I had more certainty, wishing I could just blurt it out like Peter. But we have been called out. We are ecclesia. So I brought us all rocks today. I'll pass them around. Just
pass around the basket. Help yourself to a rock. Pick one that speaks to you.
And I invite you to just to hold on to this rock and to keep it with you. Give some thought to it. This is your own rock. Your own deep truth. Your own experience of where you have recognized the source. In people or in the world around you. You can't miss it on a beautiful day like today. And think about when have you recognized the visible God in whom is the invisible divine? When we don't have a presence like Jesus that just knocks our socks off. Well, they didn't have socks back then. Knocks our sandals off. How do we recognize that presence when we don't have a presence as obvious as Jesus in the world? And who do you say that Jesus is? The searching is the rock. The yearning is the rock. Moving from wanting to know about Jesus to seeking to live and follow Jesus. That's the rock. Whatever it is that brought you here, that keeps you coming back, that leads you to all of the other wells from which you draw spiritual sustenance, that's the rock. And you have, in your way, borne witness to the mystery of God that is revealed in Jesus. In your life, that is the rock. So I want to close with some wisdom from a contemporary Unitarian minister and scholar, Frank Forrester Church, from his book, Everyday Miracles. Well, I think his words speak to us of what Jesus shows us of who God is. And he writes, "The power which I cannot explain or know or name, I call God. That is not God's name, but God is my name for the mystery that looms within and arches beyond the limits of my being. When I pray to God, the answer comes to me from within, not from beyond. God's answer is in response to my hunger for meaning and peace. Choose life and trust life. Grow in service and in love. Take nothing for granted. Be thankful for the gift. Suffer well. Dare to risk much. Consecrate your world with laughter and with tears. And know not what I am or who I am or how I am. Know only that I am with you. There are times when God is not with me, so many times of distraction, fragmentation, alienness, brokenness. But I know that when I open myself to the divine, incrementally, my wholeness is restored." So try carrying this rock around with you this week. Put it on your altar or keep it in your pocket or put it somewhere. the rock on which your faith is built. Touch it when you recognize God, healing and transformation and truth in the world. Reach for it when you're searching. Notice the space it creates. It can lead you. Listen to it. What does it crack open? Let it remind you of the love within you that is beyond words or ideas. Hold on to your touchstone. Amen.
Amen.